Anybody here get an interesting souvenir whilst they were on holiday this year? Right, I brought back some coffee from Spain because it's cheap. Half the price of what it costs in England. And we brought back some olive oil, also cheap. Much better than buying it in England, so we brought back two of those. And I brought back... I've been very fortunate this year because I've had two holidays. So we went to Spain as normal to go and see the family, but we also went to Norfolk to go and see my family. And I brought back this rock, which I stole from Horsey Beach. More about that later.
So, page 557, Psalm 28. To you, Lord, I call. You are my rock. Do not turn a deaf ear to me, for if you remain silent, I shall be like those who go down to the pit. Hear my cry for mercy as I call to you for help, as I lift up my hands toward your most holy place. Do not drag me away with the wicked and those who do evil, who speak cordially with their neighbors but harbor malice in their hearts. Repay them for their deeds and for their evil work. Repay them for what their hands have done, and bring back on them what they deserve. Because they have no regard for the deeds of the Lord and what his hands have done, he will tear them down and never build them up again. Praise be to the Lord, for he has heard my cry for mercy. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him. And he helps me. My heart leaps for joy, and with my song I praise him. The Lord is the strength of his people, a fortress of salvation for his anointed one. Save your people and bless your inheritance. Be their shepherd and carry them forever.
Great. So, coming back to my rock, which I brought back from Horsey Beach in Norfolk, it's an interesting rock, isn't it? It's got a hole in it, which is great, so you can put a bit of string through it and make a key ring out of it. Well, those keys you must not lose. That's why I chose it. But it's also made of flint, which is, I really love flint. So flint reminds me of home as well. So, and it's pretty, I think. So I like my piece of rock. That's why I chose it. But I also think it actually is going to help us to understand this psalm, Psalm 28. So what does David mean when he starts the psalm and he says, to you, Lord, I call, you are my rock? What's he mean? Well, what's good about this rock? Anybody else tell me some good things about this rock? It's solid. Thank you. Anybody else? Helen. It's been weathered, yeah, but it's still here. Somebody said clean. there's somebody who wouldn't bring a dirty old rock into their house. It's a nice clean rock from the Norfolk Beach. And yep, Martin. It's going to outlast us. It will do. It will do. It will do. Certainly that. So yeah, it's hard. It's durable. It's going to outlast us. It's clean. It's a really useful rock. Now, what good is a rock like this, I wonder, to King David? Well, when you want to build a fortress, of course, and I did a bit of that on my Norfolk Beach as well. That's the next photo. Apologies. So there we are. There was a sandcastle that I helped to build on Horsey Beach, and it's made of sand, and very shortly afterwards, it looked like this. Not much of it left after the tide came in. In fact, nothing left after the tide came in. Sand's not good for building castles, is it really? Even though we love to make castles out of sand. But if you get a bunch of these rocks, then you can build a fortress a bit like this. There you go. This is in France. We visited this fortress on the way back home from driving back from Spain. And it's called Fort Louvois or something like that. I don't do French, so you'll correct me on my pronunciation. But this fort has stood since 1690. That's 326 years. It survived the English, it survived the Dutch, It survived the Germans during World War II, but even more than that, it survived all that time the winds and the waves and the might of the ocean, the Atlantic Ocean, battering on its walls there. And all because it's made of, not flint, but it is made of rock. So if a rock is good because it's hard and durable and going to last a long time, it's good for making those fortresses, then it's good, isn't it, that our God is like a rock. David says, "You are my rock." Because that means that God is strong and durable and lasts forever, just like this rock. David's heart leaps with joy at the end of the psalm. In verse 7, he says, "With my song I praise him. The Lord is the strength of my people, of his people, a fortress of salvation for his anointed one. Save your people and bless your inheritance. Be their shepherd and carry them forever," he prays. So it's great to know, isn't it, that whatever life throws at us, whether that's bad things, whether it's some difficult times, maybe at school or at work, or whether it's better times, really good times, when everything seems to be going well, whatever life throws at us, God is our strength. He is the strength of all his people. And we can look to him and say, "Well, I can keep going through this because you keep going. He is the fortress of our salvation." And we know that because he has saved us through Jesus, doesn't he? Don't we? The Messiah who fulfilled everything that God promised he would do through his people Israel. Jesus actually fulfilled. But that's just the beginning and the end of the psalm. But there's a middle bit as well, and the middle bit is much more difficult. Because the psalm's always brutally honest about the emotions that we feel, about our human feelings. So rocks are great for building fortresses because they're so hard and long-lasting, but they're not quite so good at other things, are they? So they're not quite so good at hearing. So have you ever seen a rock with ears?
No.
They're not quite so good for speaking. Have you seen a rock with a mouth?
Nope.
They're not so good for feeling. They're not really very warm and soft and cuddly, are they, rocks? And despite my name, Huddleston, you wouldn't want to huddle up to a stone, would you? And here, in the middle bit of this psalm, David's feeling a little bit lost. To him, you see, God feels like a rock. Yes, with all the good things that implies, but it also means that he feels like God is deaf. He can't hear. He feels that God is silence, verse 1. He doesn't seem to hear David's cry for mercy or David's cry for help. Even when David goes to the holy place in Jerusalem and prays to God, David feels like God isn't actually hearing him or speaking to him. And at that time, David feels like almost giving up on God, because he feels like, well, God's just deaf, he's silent, he's unfeeling, he's unlovely, he's just a rock. And perhaps after our holidays, some of us are feeling out of touch with God too. Because it gets like that sometimes, doesn't it? Despite our best intentions, because all our normal daily routine goes out the window, then our quiet times, our reading the Bible and our praying also go out the window. And then it's very common for us to come back to God and just not feel anything, to feel out of touch, to feel very dry in our faith. We feel like God is deaf, can't hear us. God is silent, he doesn't speak to us. It's as though our relationship with God is all dried up. So perhaps that's what's going on here. Perhaps David's been on a long holiday, I don't know. But he hadn't prayed very much, I don't know. Perhaps he hadn't been reading the Bible very much. But he was feeling like his relationship with God, his rock, his salvation, was all dried up. And it's a dangerous time when we feel like that, isn't it? I mean, David wants to be close to God, but he feels distant. He feels far off. He feels judged in a way that he would be if he hadn't enjoyed the salvation of God. He hardly recognizes what God has already done for him because he feels so dried up in his faith. And when we allow ourselves to do that, then it's easy for us also to forget that we have been saved. It's easy for us to think that God doesn't really care about us. He doesn't really speak to us. He doesn't care. Sometimes the fact is that he is speaking to us, but we don't like what he has to say. It's a bit like going to McDonald's. Now, we went to McDonald's, the worst point of our holidays. We've been driving through France. There we were in the middle of France, the home of haute cuisine or whatever. And you know what it's like, you're going on for miles and miles. There will be a restaurant soon. And there wasn't. And we ended up at this McDonald's. And so why would you go to McDonald's in France? But there we were. We were eating at McDonald's. So what people like about McDonald's is that they can go there and they can have their food just like they want it. So they ask for a burger and they get a burger. You want a double burger or a single burger? Do you want cheese or bacon with your burger? Do you want chips with your burger? Do you want large or small chips with your burger? Do you want Pepsi, Fanta, or a bottle of milk with your burger? And as you ask for these things, there's a whole team of people behind them busy making exactly what you want, preparing your meal just as you want it. And sometimes we go to God in exactly the same way, don't we? We want God to deliver exactly what we want. So if we want to go somewhere, we want God to say, yes, that's a great idea. Or conversely, the other side is if we want to stay exactly where we are. We want to go to God and have God say to us, yes, stay exactly where you are. That's a great idea. Sometimes we want him to deal with a particular person. We want them to change that person. Or we want him to take that person away out of our lives completely. And God actually says, no, you must learn to love that person just as they are. Because God doesn't behave in the same way as McDonald's restaurants. God behaves in the way that he wants to behave. And that's sometimes when we accuse him of being deaf. That's sometimes when we accuse him of being silent on the issue. And perhaps it's because we've neglected our relationship with him. Perhaps it's because he's saying something to us that we don't want to hear. But David remembers towards the end of the psalm that God is not deaf. He is not silent. In fact, there's one place where he has said a great deal to us, isn't it? And that's here in the Bible, which you have open in front of you. And it's here in the Bible that we find the details of God's rescue plan, right from the very first page, right the way through to the end. And in Sunday Club, over the next few, during the course of this year, we're going to be starting at Genesis. We're going to be starting right at the beginning of the Bible. And over the course of several years, we'll be hoping to get to the end of the Bible and show the whole story of God's rescue plan. And we'll find out the details of how God loves us so much, and how he's prepared to die for us in Jesus so that we can have eternal life. And we'll hear about the eternal hope that we have of the resurrection. We'll also get instructions on how to be living, how to be fully human as we live. Because God has heard our cry for mercy. God has heard our cry for help. Jesus told the story of two men building their houses, didn't he? One on the sand and one on a rock. And he says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like the wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundations on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sands. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew, and what happened? The house came down with a crash. So what he means there is he has spoken. He's spoken to us in his words. And we build our houses on the rock of his word. So as we get back into our normal routines after our holidays this summer, let's be people who really want to listen to God, who really want to get back to his word if we've let it drop away, and open our ears to hear what God has to say. Because its faith comes through hearing from God's word. Our faith really is only as strong as our willingness to dig into his word, to hear God's voice, to hear what he's saying to us today. And what he's saying is not always what we want, but what he's saying is always good, because God is good. When we learn that, when we trust God enough to dig into his word and to really hear what he's saying, then with David we can rejoice as David rejoiced. Let's stand. And we're going to finish by saying the last few verses of the psalm together. And we're going to be terribly anchored and do it antiphonally, which means we shall divide into two halves of the room. And you can just about see that. So if this half of the room can start with the bold, praise be to the Lord, and this half of the room goes to the unbold, to the right, the Lord is my strength, then back to you, for my heart is leaps for joy. And then all together for the words in blue at the bottom. Okay, this half the room. Praise be to the Lord, for he has heard my cry for mercy. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him, and he helps me. My heart leaps for joy, and with my song I praise him. Together. The Lord is the strength from his people, a fortress of salvation for his anointed one. Save your people and bless your inheritance. Be their shepherd and carry them forever. As you stand, let's just pray. Father God, we praise you and thank you that you are our rock. Thank you that you do not change. Thank you that you do not sleep on the job. Thank you, Lord, that you never turn your back on us. You are hearing us all the time. You are our strength. You are not silent. You have taught us how to live. You have taught us about your salvation. You have taught us about your love. You have taught us about the hope that we have in Christ. So, Lord, we thank you and praise you that you are our fortress of salvation because of Christ, because of your anointed one who died and rose again for us, that we may have eternal life in you. Amen.